Welcome, everyone. We're so excited to start off this year with another podcast. This is Dr. Coco Nishi, and I'm here with some very, very special guests, and I'm really excited to have this space and to have this opportunity to talk with each of them. And today's topic and our title of our exciting podcast is the Epiphany plus UCR Introduction. So we're very, very excited to have our friends from the URC Undocumented Resource Center here with us today. And we're going to have a really interesting conversation in this space together, where we're going to talk about the intersection of our various identities, talk a lot about the resources that are available, and also touch upon the stigma that I think is associated a lot of times with the undocumented status. So I'm very excited to have you all here today. So thank you for listening, and I want to turn it over and let folks introduce themselves. So I'm going to popcorn it over to Jessica.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be back on another podcast. My name is Jessica Chang. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the Diversity Officer for Student Engagement at San Diego State University. In the Center for Inclusive Excellence, I am so humbled and honored to be one of the co-advisors for Epiphany, and I'm looking forward to this conversation today and this collaboration with the Undocumented Resource Center, and I will pass it over to Cynthia.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here, Coco and Jessica. We're really excited to share more about our Undocumented Resource Center, what we offer, how we can be of service to our students, and just a cool place to come and hang out and chill and so forth. So we're excited to share more about our stuff here. Pass it over to Magali.
Hello, everyone. My name is Magali Corro Flores, pronouns she, hers, and ella. And I am the assistant director here at the Undocumented Resource Center. And I'm really happy to be here with all of you to just share more about the resources that we offer and welcome everyone to our space. I'm going to go ahead and popcorn it over to Ingrid.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ingrid Galera. Pronouns are she, her, hers, ella. I'm happy to be here. I'm a student assistant here at the Undocumented Resource Center here at SCSU, and I'm very excited to talk about topics here. And I popcorn it to Jennifer.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Ojeda-Ortiz. Pronouns are she, her, hers. And I am also a student assistant here at the Undocumented Resource Center. And thank you all for having me.
All right. So real quick, I wanted to talk briefly about what Epiphany is, because for those students who may not have heard of us, I think it's important to know. You might have heard Epiphany workshop series in the past, but we're going on our maybe sixth year, I believe. But it started off as a conversation with a graduate student, Kathy Nguyen, and I talked a lot about how we needed a space. And this was before the PETA Center had been established, but we wanted a space to talk about what it's like as an Asian American identified student or faculty staff and navigating the campus, trying to find resources. So we created Epiphany, which is spelled AAPI, Epiphany. And it ended up being this space where we could just hang out and talk about the things that you don't necessarily talk about in class or learn in books, you know, talking about your identity, talking about maybe family dynamics, talking about food. And speaking of food, we would often have boba and some snacks. Hopefully we can bring that back. So y'all are more than welcome to, you're all invited to come. But it really became a community that we created. And I think something that is important for Epiphany is that we're trying to connect with other communities. We're trying to help students feel connected and find their place as they navigate the campus and their college career. And so that's a little bit about Epiphany. We've kind of evolved over time. We started off doing workshops in person at the Student Union Center. Originally, it was at the Center for Intercultural Relations. And then during the pandemic, we moved to online Zoom presentations. And then now we've expanded to a podcast series. And we're always looking for, you know, input and topics and folks to bring up any questions that they might have. And again, this is really space to address, you know, the identities, but also I think the mental health component, because that's oftentimes not brought to the forefront. And so just another avenue, another resource available to students. Jessica, do you have anything to add?
You did a great job, Coco. And I guess just like personal relationship with Epiphany, really appreciating the community space before we also had like community circles where we would debrief, some of the content and how it really impacts our mental health. So for me personally, being able to understand and practice some of the self-regulation, whether that's like breathing or going into our bodies, while understanding some of these difficult topics that face the Asian American Pacific Islander community, was really helpful in healing. So I am so excited that some of those things can now be listened to via a podcast and a different way to process over time. Also accessible to community members, family, and friends as well. We'll talk a little bit about how it really lends to more of an informal healing space as well because of the podcast, and kind of a way that we can destigmatize. But that's all I would add. Thank you so much, Coco.
Thank you. And so a big part of what I think Epiphany focuses on is it being a space for the students' voices to be heard, and also helping students feel connected to resources and support. And so I would like to introduce or invite our wonderful guests here to talk a little bit about the Undocumented Resource Center, maybe the history, where is it even located, all that good stuff, because we want our listeners to know where you all are at and what you have to offer.
Sure. Thank you for that. Definitely. The Undocumented Resource Center has similar upbringings in that it was organized by the students. I happen to serve as an advisor for a wonderful organization called Education Without Borders, which established itself at San Diego State University back in 2009 out of need, basically, because undocumented students really didn't have a safe space or know how to navigate the campus when you get here. Usually as a first gen low income student, traditionally students were kind of just wandering around or trying to identify who to speak to. And then of course the undocumented immigration status added an extra layer of caution for students. When I got connected to the student organization, I was really in awe of the students who have demonstrated their resilience, of course, and been able to navigate to get into higher education. And I found that it was very similar to my, I found that their tenacity, their bravery of coming into higher education was really something to be respected, and they're trailblazers because they set the tone for what we have now, which is the Undocumented Resource Center. So the students over the years, creating opportunities for engagement with other undocumented students and bringing awareness to the campus, especially to the administration of the needs that are delicate, not having a social security number, funding for school, so forth, they organized and they found their voice. And that was really unique and a wonderful opportunity to see that. And as they met with administrators and collaborated with other organizations, they were able to advocate. They were able to advocate for a space. The opportunity came up in EOP, which was great. I had a different hat that I was wearing. So in addition to being an advisor, I was either a counselor or working in EOP as admissions. And so that became now a full-time job. And the students saw that and they saw the need. And again, they advocated and were able to get a staff person. And it was just myself for a while. And recently in 2017, we became a full-on center, which is very unique. And with, again, continued advocacy, and including outside advocacy and our students at the forefront, we were able to now acquire staff, which Magali is a part of, will be hiring a assistant program coordinator. And of course, we have our wonderful students who are here to support our students as they're coming into the university while they're navigating the maze of higher education, to see what resources we could provide for them and just have a home base per se, another space where they can feel comfortable and identify with other folks who are undocumented. I know that the conversation has come up with some of our students in that other folks may know about your status, but it's very unique when there's people who actually live that same experience. And so that's something we wanted to provide, is again, those opportunities to connect on a more deeper level to offer opportunities for leadership, to connect our undocumented students and those of mixed immigration status, our faculty, our staff, and build allyship so that we can build community and educate folks as well. So we want to be here to support them. We have assistance with DACA renewals, immigration stuff. I'll let someone else actually talk about that so that I'm not talking and hogging up all the space.
Thank you, Cynthia, for sharing that. So again, this is Magali, and I do want to mention something. I do want to acknowledge a key a member of our community who also advocated for this space, and that was Jose Antonio Vargas. And he came to the, he's a Filipino journalist, activist, and author of Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. He came to San Diego State University and he was a keynote speaker. And during the event, he also noticed that we didn't have an undocumented resource center. We didn't have a dream center. And he questioned why being so close to the border and being a HSI institution, Hispanic serving institution, how come we didn't have that resource for our students, seeing that other CSUs had that? So I do want to point that out because Jose Antonio Vargas was definitely a very important person. And thanks to him, and then obviously all, you know, our students and advocacy and activism, we were able to have this undocumented resource center created. And with that being said, Jose Antonio Vargas, he's also part obviously of the UndocuAPI community. And this just shows to, this just highlights how diverse our community is. And I do want to speak a little bit about that. There is a misconception, you know, in the United States specifically, that, you know, all undocumented people are Mexicans. And I'm going to say that because that's what they're thinking. They're not thinking about Central America. They're not thinking of South America. They're not thinking of other countries. But I do want to mention that some statistics, and you know, we have around 11 million undocumented people living in the United States, and the second largest population of undocumented individuals in the country are Asian Americans. In fact, 12% of undocumented individuals in this country are Asian, with the majority coming from India, China, the Philippines, South Korea, and Vietnam. And this forms part of the largest, again, population of people who are in this country. And this is a fast growing number as well. Also in higher education, you know, Asian Americans make up to 25% of undocumented students in higher education. Now, this is something that a lot of, you know, individuals who are maybe not familiar with the topic, or even ourselves are not familiar with, because we have these stereotypes associated that we see in the media. But this is a reality. One of the things that we're actually seeing here as well at the Undocumented Resource Center is that even though we do have undocumented Asian Americans at San Diego State University, they are not coming to the center. And we want to change that. We want to change that because we are welcoming of everyone. We want to be there for every single undocumented student at San Diego State University. And we want to offer those resources, work with the students and their experiences as well, to be able to provide those specific services that tie to their identity and are culturally specific. And I think this is also one of the reasons why we're here, and we're excited to be here, just to try to take away all those negative connotations that come with the word undocumented and all those like misconceptions and stereotypes that come with that population of students as well.
Wow, thank you so much for bringing in the statistics, Magali. And I think you hit it on the head in terms of, I know speaking from the Asian American Pacific Islander community, my experience is that this is one of many topics that are left, it's a taboo topic within our community. We don't talk about it, similar to we don't talk about our emotions and our feelings. And I think it's really important to highlight this and the fact that we're the second largest group of undocumented status, and yet we do not seek out the resources. And I believe a lot of them don't know it's available. A lot of them don't know where to access them. And so I really appreciate you bringing that up. I think that's really, really important to highlight. I wanted to invite Jennifer and Ingrid too, to share kind of your thoughts or just your connection or anything you want to share.
I can go first. I think like Magali was mentioning, students, whenever they enter a campus, whether it's straight out of high school or as transfer students, Most students look at like what the campus offers, whether it's the resources or their efforts. Now, as an undocumented individual myself, I always made sure that the campus that I was applying to had a Dream Center or anything that mentioned that they were an ally. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of students should look into. But like I said before, it's that fear of showing your true self. And it's not something that we used to like have that within cultures. And I always like to say that the documented individuals are like a butterfly. So we stay in a cocoon because we fear that if we flourish into the butterfly, that we're gonna get judged. I know there are many ways, like for example, if you show that you're undocumented, if you say to many, possibly friends or family members, sometimes it can take different routes. They can either accept you as who you are and care and help you out, or they can just part ways. And I think that's the fear many students have, especially being undocumented in a higher education system. Just seeking those resources, I think that's one of the fears many students have, even just coming into a center at times, it's really hard for them. So I think that's something at least the Undocumented Resource Center is focusing on and, you know, making ourselves known in campus.
Yeah, thank you. Can you, for anyone here, really speak more on some of those misconceptions or that label that comes with the undocumented status that you think contributes to the fear of seeking help or resources?
I can share a little bit about also like my personal story, and then maybe we can go from there. So yeah, I am an assistant director here at the Undocumented Resource Center, but before when I was in high school and then also community college, because I'm also a transfer student, I was an undocumented student as well. And for me, I can speak from experience, it was really scary to navigate an institution not knowing who my allies were. So my fears, and I speak from, you know, my personal experience, was just, you know, seeking resources, you know, for example, like going to the admissions office, going to the financial aid office, and then letting them know it's like, oh, you know, I can't apply for financial aid through the regular application that everybody's filling out because I'm undocumented. So you will have to disclose your status in order to get that help and those resources. And at that time, when I was going to school, we didn't have the support that we have right now for undocumented students. We didn't have a specific Dream Center or a resource center. And that's something that students now have here at San Diego State University. So for example, at the Undocumented Resource Center, if students are coming into to SDSU and they don't know who to go for help, they don't know, they wanna seek these resources and this help, but they don't know exactly who at the financial aid office, who at the admissions office is an ally, they can come to us and we can connect them with those individuals who are not going to judge, not going to have their political opinions or anything, but they're just going to be focusing on student success and the individual. These individuals are allies. So we're going to be able to help those students navigate the campus in a safe way and in a safe environment as well. And I think that's one of the fears and why students, you know, it's hard for them to seek out resources and seek out like help as well. Even if you're coming to an institution as big as SDSU, if you're undocumented, because of that stigma, that lack of education from other people and like lack of awareness, they're not gonna ask, hey, is there an undocumented resource center on campus? Because they might feel that, you know, that they're gonna judge them. So I think just knowing, like being, like Ingrid mentioned, like our center, you know, going and doing outreach, being in this podcast and just letting everyone in the community know that we are here. This is something that we're trying to do to advertise, you know, our center so they can come into our resource center without fear of, you know, I don't know, just being judged, I guess, by other individuals as well.
I can piggyback a little bit off of that. So I personally, I got my undergrad in a different institution and they also had a Dream Center. However, when I was doing my undergrad, it was a little bit hard for me to ask for help. Like Ingrid and Magali were saying, I feel like it's kind of hard to navigate and to look for those resources because there isn't you feel like you can't really out your status. And I feel like sometimes you have to be very, very comfortable in order for you to do that, because of you don't know how people are going to react. So when it does come to finding resources, like, you don't really know where to turn to. And so once I came to state, and knowing that there was an undocumented resource center, I felt like I was a part of campus. I felt like I had imposter syndrome my very first semester due to that, because I didn't know where to turn to. I feel like a lot of students, sometimes they come to a huge campus. This campus compared to my undergrad one is very big. So I didn't know where to go. I wasn't sure what, you know, where to study. And so once I joined, or once I came into the Undocumented Resource Center for my second semester, I felt like I was actually a part of campus. And so I think it's very important for students to know, and for us to, you know, have that resource on the website, put it on social media, put it out there to let them know that we're here for them. And what I love about the Undocumented Resource Center is that I feel like we do a lot of outreach. You know, right now we're doing NSO, which is the new student orientation. We're tabling there, letting students know, not only freshmen, but also transfers, that we're here for them, to let them know that we have those resources, because it's important to let them be aware about, you know, everything that we have for them, and to let them know that they're not alone. Because like I mentioned, imposter syndrome is something that it sucks. It's really bad, you know, as a student. And if you don't have anybody to turn to, you just kind of dig yourself a little hole, and you just are in your shell, you know? So like we mentioned, it's hard to disclose your status and to let others know that you are undocumented. But I think that it's good to also put it out there that we're here for them. And, you know, also as far as like APEDA and other centers like that, it's good that we have them, you know, table and all that, because we just have to let our students know that we're here for them.
Thank you for sharing that. I think, first of all, imposter syndrome is very real. It happens to all of us. And so that's something else that I think definitely impacts students. But I think what I hear you all talk about is the fact that it's really hard to know who to trust, right? Who are your allies? And you all at the Undocumented Resource Center are the allies. And so you would be the best place to go to first, because you would know, and you know the resources, and you know who to refer students to. And so I think that's a really great start. I think what you both shared in terms of your experiences will probably resonate with a lot of students. And I'm curious, again, for Jen and Ingrid, if you don't mind me asking, I'm curious how you came about. Like, how did you come across the Undocumented Resource Center? And then, like, how did you become involved? And how has your involvement in the center impacted just your experience at SDSU?
Yes, I can go first. I transferred from Southwestern Community College, and they actually have a Dream Center. So I actually participated in their Dream Center. And also I was a part of the FYE program with the first year experience program at Southwestern. So I became a mentor of about, I would say, 50 to 60 students who were incoming high schoolers. And just having that, like, you know, that dedication of like learning all the resources and offering them to the students who has no clue what's going on, really allowed me to flourish and, you know, say, I want to do this. You know, I want to offer those resources, get to know everything that's going on in campus, and, you know, pretty much hold them by their hand and pass them along all the resources that I've learned about. And just pretty much making sure that they know their resources, that they know their rights as students, especially on campus, whether it's community or CSU, UC or private, a student does have, you know, that right to their own proper education. And they, you know, they choose the right path that they want to go. And again, sometimes this happens where some students who are undocumented don't want to show CAS or outcast themselves because of the fear of getting judged. And this is when I would go hand in hand with them. I would go, okay, you want to go to the career service? I'll go with you. I'll be your ally there. Whether they were undocumented or not, just offering that peace of mind and that peace that you're there for them. That's what got me into becoming a mentor and a student assistant in the Undocumented Resource Center. I wanted to give those resources and services for the undocumented students who are coming in. And like Jennifer mentioned, you know, things like tabling or outreach helps a lot, because maybe if students had other options of colleges, maybe just by presenting or tabling can make a difference, and they can choose SDSU or at least our campus because they have those resources. So I think that's one of the things that kind of drove me to continue to be a mentor and a student assistant here.
Can you repeat the question again? Sorry.
I'm not even sure what I said. I think I was asking about how did you get involved at the Undocumented Resource Center at State? Like, mm-hmm. how did you come across it? And also, how has your involvement in the center helped your overall experience personally and maybe as a student?
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for the question. So like I mentioned, I did my undergrad at Cal State San Marcos, so any alums, but yeah, so that campus, like I said, it's very small compared to San Diego State, and I also was part of EOP over there as a first gen as well. I knew that we had a center, however, I was a little bit more involved with EOP, but I was also a peer mentor. So when I came into State, like I mentioned, my first semester, I dealt with imposter syndrome. I wasn't sure, you know, what was really going on, but I did experience that my first semester. And then once I followed, I believe, the Undocumented Resource Center on Instagram. So that's where I found out. I started following a lot of pages on Instagram. And so that's kind of how I found out that they had the Resource Center here on campus. And I started following you know, the events that they had, even though I still wasn't really on campus back in last summer. So then I saw that they had a position available for student assistant, so I decided to apply. And so I think that ever since I've been here at the Undocumented Resource Center, it probably has been like the best decision that I've had ever since I've been here at State, because now I feel like I have a sense of community. And before, like I mentioned, I felt like I didn't, you know, my first semester with experiencing imposter syndrome. I felt like I wasn't really part of campus, but ever since, I feel like I do, you know, I've met great people who share similar experiences to me, who have gone through some of the same things as me. And not only that, but now I know that there is a community here that, you know, supports me. I know everybody on campus does, but I feel like knowing that, you know, I have people who understand my situation is great. So now being a student assistant and then later in the future being a mentor as well, I want to be able to help out students as well who are first generation or who also have, you know, an undocumented status, know that we have the resources for them and that we are here to just support them and to lead them through the process of that, you know, because like I mentioned, being undocumented and also first generation is difficult. Being able to try to navigate a higher education, it's not easy. So I think that just being here and trying to build that community with new students is what I want. So
I think something important as I'm hearing people speak about their experiences is I think we tend to carry that fear as when we were kids of our parents telling us, you know, don't say anything to get us in trouble, because it's not just yourself that you're exposing and outing, it's your family. We also serve folks who are mixed immigration status. I'm of mixed immigration status. My mother was undocumented at some point, my cousins and whatnot. And I remember when we would cross the border, they would tell us, okay, be quiet. Don't say anything because we don't want to go to secondary. And it was just like that fear. And so I think for some of our students, that might be the case of like, I don't want to draw any attention to myself or how that would maybe reflect upon my family. And something my dad told me is like, people will judge you on how you look and what you say, what you do, and so forth. So that me maybe going into the center or me saying that I'm undocumented, would that bring shame? Would that bring dishonor? Would that bring something negative to the family that we don't want? And that might be something similar that we share with our Asian community as well.
Absolutely. But
the thing is that it's a part of our identity. It's not the whole thing. And that's one of the things that I feel that kind of goes along with imposter syndrome, is that we have so many pieces of ourselves and different things that make up who we are. We're offering a small bit to try to help in that small little opportunity that you may have or that need that you may have, and at the same time allow an opportunity to connect with other folks, as Jennifer said, as Ingrid said, and Magali, to say, you know, okay, you understand where I'm coming from. You get this fear. You understand that this is not the only thing that makes up who I am, of course. And then again, going back to just the whole creation of URC, we are here because of our students. We are here because of the resiliency, their voice that they found, and we want to help folks find that voice and find those their true selves as far as what is it that I want to do. We don't want them to think that, oh, this is going to hold me back. Absolutely not. We're here to support you. We're here to help guide you in whatever capacity that may be. And so we invite folks to cruise on by. We're actually located in the Arts and Letters building on the left-hand side, room 202. So as soon as you go down that stairs, hang a right on the little corner there behind the Starbucks. So easier for folks to find us. We're there Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, and sometimes during the school semester, some of us will stay a little bit later, especially during those finals and midterms, to support folks. So we're there to build community with folks, and want to invite everybody to cruise on by. We have a refrigerator, so we know how expensive it is on campus to buy food. So if you want to put your lunch somewhere, it'll be safe, and then be able to microwave it or whatnot, feel free to do so. And you don't have to carry that around campus and whatnot and save some money. Sometimes you'll open the fridge and there'll be some food in there, some waffles, some ice cream. We know it's a hot day. We have water for you. So again, think of us as your home away from home. We want to have everybody there. And I'm going to invite Magali to share some of the resources and the things she's been planning this semester, because I'm very excited for this new school year.
Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. I also want to mention that undocumented individuals, we all are on a different journey or a different stage in our journey. So some of us are more comfortable saying like, oh, I was a former undocumented student. Some of us are comfortable saying, I am undocumented, I am documented. Some of us are not comfortable at all with disclosing our status, and that is okay. And just because you come to our center and walk through those doors, you are not putting a label on yourself, because we are open to undocumented students, mixed immigration status students. That means if you were born in the US or you have a green card, and then maybe your parent is undocumented, your cousin is undocumented, we're open to mixed immigration status students, and we're open to allies as well. So just because you come visit our center, don't think that you are putting like a label on yourself and you're disclosing your identity automatically. We are welcoming to all of our allies as well. So that's something that I do want to point out. And in regards to that, in regards to just welcoming the SESU community to our center, I do want to mention that one of the resources that we offer are immigration legal services, and they are free of cost to our students. So for example, if you are renewing your DACA, we do have a program through Jewish Family Services, and it's called Higher Education Legal Services, where we provide free immigration legal services through authorized representatives, and they're able to file the paperwork, turn it into USCIS, and then at no cost to you. If you are renewing your DACA, we also have a partnership with ECRT. So we're able to pay for those fees. And then if you already pay for that DACA, we're able to reimburse you as well. These immigration lawyers as well, they help with advanced parole, they help with naturalization, with any other type of immigration services, and not only for our students, but also for their immediate family members. So for example, if your parents or your sibling have anything that they want to talk to a lawyer in regards to immigration, they're welcome to come in, and they have appointments via Zoom and also in person on Tuesdays. That's something, you know, that we offer here at the Undocumented Resource Center at San Diego State University. We're also throughout the year, we host several workshops, including imposter syndrome workshops. We're actually creating a partnership with Counseling and Psychological Services to have group sessions necessarily, but just like a space so we can talk about the imposter syndrome and, you know, how that affects us and how that affects our identity as well. And they're just going to be casual conversations, and people can just come in, and they're going to be in person for the semester. And more information will be on our Instagram website. We're also creating a partnership with Career Services. So for those students who are undocumented, for those who have DACA, and even those who don't have that, that sometimes graduating, you know, getting their diploma and, you know, not knowing what to do afterwards or whether or not they're going to be able to find employment, that's something that, you know, it's on their on the back of their minds. And I think that with this partnership, we're going to be able to explore those what those options are from the very first semester that they start SDSU. We're also going to have a mentorship program this semester, which we are very excited about. So for students who are interested, they can reach out to us. We're also going to have the flyer on social media where we're going to partner new students. So they, for the first semester, recently admitted student, either they're freshmen or transfer students, we're going to partner them up with a student at the Undocumented Resource Center who has been here for at least two semesters, so they can, you know, walk around campus, letting them know what the resources are, and then just have someone to talk to in regards to like their experience here at San Diego State University. I think those are some of the resources that I can think of right now. If I am missing anything, please feel free to jump in.
I just want to say that's an amazing list of resources, and not just for students themselves, but also for immediate family members. And you mentioned that it's free of cost. And so these are some really amazing resources that are available for you all who are listening. And so please, please check them out. Real quick, y'all, what is your handle? What's the URC's handle? Instagram. And we will post this on social media and put this on the podcast as well, but we need to get that out there. Jessica, go ahead.
Yeah, as really quick, I wanted to also summarize and just, I have some vibes and goosebumps from listening to everyone's stories today. I really appreciate it. Something that I wanted to intertwine and start to make an attempt on solidarity and intersectionality as well is to highlight the concept of shame, collectivism, as Cynthia was alluding to in regards to the AAPI community connecting with the Undocumented Resource Center. I think the aspects of solidarity in regards to storytelling similar things actually that I've been hearing in the stories today is what I'd like to share with the AAPI community in a concept of chosen family as well. So it's something that I've learned about in regards to the complexity and many things that are empowering in our stories and that we want to reclaim in some of the your pain is not in vain. So I hope that you can see from today that there's many resources in creating this chosen community to support you with your intersectional identities, AAPI and undocumented. I feel like our, like Coco was affirming, in our collectivistic families, and I am being general about this, please cater it to your own family stories. Oftentimes we have heard similar things like, don't bring dishonor to the family, don't rock the boat. And that layered with an undocumented status can also feel like a concept of silence within it, within the AAPI community. So we, in hearing our partners talk today, I feel a sense of really being seen and understood. And I'd like to encourage you all listening too, that attending these workshops, attending, just going to the center can be the first step in just building these relationships in a space where there's this intentionality and thoughtfulness. It might feel a little different. I'll draw on my own experience in creating the concept of a chosen community, in that it might be nerve-wracking. It also might be scary because we have potentially childhood conditioning that we don't know where the trust is, especially in a family unit, to then project it out to a community. However, through the different resources that Magali had shared, I feel that there is this space to be able to take small steps and find this healing within reclaiming those nuances of healing and mental health within the AAPI community in collaboration with the different unique and similarities within the URC as well. So I wanted to, I'll kind of like summarize that together in our podcast today and the different concepts that I heard. And I wanted to, I think we're on our way to closing this podcast. I will bring it back to everybody to see if there's any concluding thoughts to this summary before we end our podcast today.
I do want to mention one last thing, that the Undocumented Resource Center is not only a place where students can seek support, like in, you know, their academic journey or their educational journey or immigration legal services, but also a place where, as Jennifer and Ingrid mentioned, a place to build community. Because I think that we all talked about how it's sometimes a very lonely path to be undocumented and not find that community because you don't know who to trust. So you could be in a classroom or in an institution, a higher education institution, and feel like you're the only person experiencing what you are experiencing. But coming into this space, you'll be able to find other students who have that same, you know, share that similar, those similar experiences. For example, being the first in your household to go to a higher education institution as an undocumented individual, you know, what does that look like? What are those expectations? You know, what are those expectations that in the family, you know, maybe bring pressures on you? And like, maybe you have students here that have gone through the similar things, and like, how are they, you know, handling those situations? Or maybe I don't have DACA, and what am I going to do after I graduate? Like, are there options, income generation, generating opportunities for me? Like, all these conversations that you might not be able to have with other individuals because you don't know who to trust specifically, or you don't know who they are, who is an ally. We have students here, and then also staff here that is, you know, they're going to be able to have those conversations with you, and where you can feel supported. And again, that like chosen family aspect of a community as well here at ACSU.
I want to point in that our Instagram handle, it's at SCSU URC. And also piggybacking on Magali, I think for those students that are listening, you know, make the best of your education, and, you know, take that fear as fuel to go out there and seek those resources that you need to succeed. You know, build that community by networking through, whether it's events, workshops, or just going to the resource centers, because who knows, maybe you find individuals who understand you and who can relate to your experiences. And like Coco and Jessica were mentioning, like, you can build and find that, like, outside family that you can create, that family that supports you through your whole education.
I just need to highlight really quick, Ingrid just said fear as fuel. Use that fear as fuel, y'all. I just had to repeat that because that was so powerful. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that we're all here for everyone listening. All the centers are here, so if you all need any resources, just reach out and we can always direct you to anyone who you need.
Just want to invite everybody to stop by our Undocumented Resource Center, particularly that first week of school. We have Welcome Week, and we're going to have an open house. So please swing by, check us out, come by, chit chat, need a place to study, come by, need a snack, come by, need someone to talk to, come by. We're here to support you. We're here to build that community, as been said before. Don't let the fear hold you back. As Ingrid said, use that fear for fuel. Come on in. Our education that we're getting at San Diego State University is top notch, but what you know will definitely get you the job. Who do you know? And so that's where networking comes in. And we have alumni that are out there that we can connect you to as well. And we have allies that go through our UndocuAlly training faculty and staff that we can connect you to on campus as well. So our community is bigger than what you think. So stop by, check us out, and we invite you to swing by anytime. Bring a friend. We're always welcome.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at SDSUURC.
Thank you to Coco and Jessica for inviting us here to be a part of this podcast. We look forward to future opportunities as well, to your listeners as well. Thank you. Throw out topics that you'd like us to chit-chat about too.
Absolutely. Just to kind of, I guess, summarize this whole conversation, you know, Cynthia, you're mentioning getting connected to community, and it's much larger than you realize. in this Zoom meeting, in this podcast that we're recording right now, we are all connected somehow. I actually went and bothered Cynthia in her office at EOP. And, you know, to be honest, I was a little nervous. I didn't know her, but everyone seemed to always talk to her, and her office is really cool. She's got a lot of cool stuff in there. And so I was like, hi. And then sure enough, I'd bug her every week. And it was just a great space to feel supported, to feel heard, just to feel connected. And now I have this, you know, connection with her and all of you. And so it really is that first step. And I think something that we mentioned earlier in the podcast that I think resonates within our communities is that, I know for me growing up as an Asian American female, I was taught that asking for help is a sign of weakness, right? Like I should suck it up and I should just figure it out on my own. And I don't want to burden or bother other people. So it has to be on me. Mm-hmm. And I think on some level that is, you know, helpful. It can be a strength. It can help build resilience. But at the same time, we're not built for that. We're not meant to carry all that on our own. And it's not necessarily the healthiest thing for us. And it doesn't mean it's a weakness and it's not a bad thing. And asking for help is actually helping you further your education, further your personal well-being. And so to really flip that and think of it as a positive thing to embrace and to grow, and that there are people all over San Diego State looking to help you in that process. And so we hope that with this podcast, you all who are listening feel like you've met six more folks who are ready to help you on your path and to help you grow and be your best self. And so just want to say thank you so much again for listening. And I'm very, very grateful to our guests today for joining us. And this is definitely not the last time we're going to be hanging out. So we look forward again to meeting with you all again. And thank you for tuning in.